Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Jimmy Fallon warns us apparently there's some spider invasion coming to the East Coast in the spring. Scientists say that the spiders are the size of a child's hand and they can parachute from the sky. Fallon said, I love how the scientists were like, how should we describe the size? And they're like, I settled on a child's hand. Trevor Noah, you know, sometimes I don't understand nature. Why did it feel the need to create something like this? Spiders that have parachutes and fly around, you know, with some things you get why they exist, like how plants put oxygen in the atmosphere or how birds evolve into chickens so we could make delicious sandwiches. But giant spiders was Mother Nature like, people's nightmares have become too boring. Let's spice things up. You can't even kill that thing with a regular shoe. Did you see the size? You probably need like a shack size shoe. And by the way, if you think a giant spider is bad, wait until you see the giant pig the giant spider is going to become best friends with. Here's a question in my script. Why did I write the word logic? I don't know, but it's right there before the first item, and the first item is Louis C.K. Louis got an infomercial. The laugh button says Louis C.K. has been slowly rolling out a new infomercial for his new stand-up special, which is called Sorry. It aired the other night at 2 a.m. on IFC. Throughout the infomercial, C.K. promotes the special and just has some fun with the format in general. If you missed it, it'll air the next two Thursdays at 2 a.m. in your local time zone. And if you don't have a DVR, or you don't stay up for your Louis C.K. infomercials, he said it'll be up on YouTube eventually. I look forward to that. Here's some clickbait. Is Lorne Michaels worried that Pete Davidson won't stick around Saturday Night Live? That's the clickbait from The Sun. Let me jump in here. Lorne doesn't care. Lorne's got a piece of the new Pete Davidson sitcom. Pete Davidson's barely on the show even when he's on the show. You think Lorne, 47, 48 years in SNL, is sitting there going, oh man, if we lose Pete Davidson, how will the show ever recover? Come on, The Sun. A source says, Lorne would love to have him for years to come, and especially the upcoming 50th anniversary of the show. Right? Imagine trying to do the 50th anniversary of the show with just Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and Will Ferrell and Tina Fey and maybe Eddie Murphy. I mean, how would you ever have a show without Pete Davidson? The insider continued, Lorne Michaels fears mostly that he will lose Pete, but he's going to do all he can do to keep him around, like giving him a sitcom. Convincing Pete to stay, though, might be tougher than expected. He'd love Pete to take the same path as Kenan Thompson and be able to do the show and do other things that interest him, but Lorne is not stupid. He sees Pete's meteoric rise happening by dating Kim Kardashian and being rumored to go to space, getting Super Bowl commercials, and tons of other offers for movies and TV, so he feels he's on borrowed time when it comes to Pete remaining on SNL after this season. Amy Schumer, who's hosting the Oscars for some reason, says she won't pretend that she's not interested in getting back to the world's biggest stages. Remember I told you the other day that Amy had gone from 15,000-seat arenas to 5,000-seat arenas? Well, Amy says, and this is a little loaded here, there's even more shade that I'm throwing every time I go, Amy Schumer, who's hosting the Oscars for some reason, Amy said, I'm not Chappelle or these comics who I guess have more integrity than me who are like, I'd rather do five shows in more intimate venues. I'm like, I want to go where the hockey team plays. I'm sorry, is Dave Chappelle walking around going, I only play small arenas because I'm cool like that? I don't think so. Also, Dave walked away from a $50 million deal one time. Let's not give Dave Chappelle a hard time about that. Hollywood Reporter adds, in the meantime, Amy Schumer is going to keep fleshing out her set at the Comedy Cellar. Unless she turns up and sees on the lineup the name of a man with whom she's no longer comfortable sharing a stage. That's you, Louis C.K. In that case, Schumer will do as she's done plenty of times before. She'll turn around and go home. Whatever. Jeff Foxworthy's back with a new stand-up special on Netflix. It will premiere March 22nd. Jeff Foxworthy, the nicest person you'll ever meet. Great guy. It's his first solo stand-up special in 24 years, which sounds weird, but yeah, he was doing all that blue-collar stuff, and he's been touring with Larry the Cable Guy the last few years. This new special is titled The Good Old Days. He talks about parenting your children and your parents, texting, the joy of getting a butt dial, conversations with his wife, and recalls a much simpler time, or was it? Jeff Foxworthy, The Good Old Days, drops on March 22nd. I forgot to do my if you something something, here's a punchline, but with a new special coming out, I'm sure I'll get to do plenty of that next week. This next one, I was reading it on my weekly show over on the Live One app. That show's called The Weekly Comedy Thing. There's a new episode out today, by the way. You want me to tell you who's on the show this week? I can tell you who's on the show this week. Hold on, let me pull up the notes. So The Weekly Comedy Thing is free. It is the forerunner of this podcast. There, I only have like 30 to 60 seconds to talk, and then I play actual bits by the comedians. So it's like this, plus comedians, minus a lot of me. This show came out of me doing the prep for that show and having so much that I couldn't get to that I created a podcast. Anyway, it is free. It is called The Weekly Comedy Thing. It's on the Live One app. This week, Pete Davidson, Jim Gaffigan, a St. Patrick's Day theme set with Tommy Tiernan, Kathleen Madigan, Jess Salomon, who's a really cool comic you should follow, and Russell Peters. Yeah, I made it work. Trust me. A look at some people playing Moon Tower, including Jimmy O. Yang and Joel Kim Booster, both good comics you should know. Talked about the Chris Rock, Kevin Hart tour. Did a bit about Dan Soder. Definitely talked about Amy Schumer and Louis C.K., Mark Maron and Roy Wood, and a Joe Coy story. So that is called The Weekly Comedy Thing on the Live One app. It is free. Do it, man. So I was recording for next week out on that one about this Maz Jobrani story. And every time I read it, my brain fried. I stumbled over it. I got tongue-tied because I don't understand. I've met Maz. I love Maz. Maz in real life, awesome. Maz on stage, awesome. From Yahoo, Maz Jobrani is developing an original animated sitcom that challenges Jobrani's experiences growing up as an Iranian-American immigrant in the U.S., right? That sounds pretty cool. It's called Laugh on Lorb. That's the working title anyway. Lorb is spelled L-O-R-B. Laugh on Lorb. Centers on an aspiring teenage comic who's selected to introduce Oprah Winfrey at an appearance at his school. All right, makes me think it's a South Park episode, but all right, fine. Decent premise. The teenager is mistakenly kidnapped from the stage by alien lorbs who believe he's Oprah, and then he's taken back to their planet to meet their princess. Okay. After learning that the princess is on a mission to bring emotion back to Lorb to save it from disaster, the teenager agrees to channel his inner Oprah to help the princess and, through the eyes of a teenage Iranian immigrant, share his own insight, wit, and philosophy of life while learning about comedy and himself along the way. What? There's a quiz on what I just told you. So the sitcom is about Maz's experiences growing up as an Iranian American, except we're on Lorb and there's a princess and Oprah is involved for some reason. Must be Animated Comedy Development Week. Variety says Rami Youssef. He's getting an animated series as well. This one is called Cairo Cowboy. I like the title. Asut says Rami has only scratched the surface of his incredible creative gifts. With perfectly measured and heartfelt comedic candor, his work penetrates culture. We're so fortunate to be working with him and his team. Family comedies have long tackled some of the most uncomfortable and difficult societal topics, but through animation and Rami's creative voice, we're so excited to bring this one to audiences. Cairo Cowboy will explore the experiences of a Muslim American family that must learn how to code switch as they navigate the early 2000s, a time of fear, war, and the rapid expansion of the boy band industrial complex. I don't know why I did that twist there at the end. I was in, and then I'm like, what? Anyway, this made me wonder, hey, what happened to the wonderful series Rami on Hulu? If you haven't watched that, watch that. That is fantastic. It's a little bit low energy, but sometimes at 10:30 at night, that really hits the spot. I like the Rami series a lot. Well, the article did say that Rami was picked up for a third season back in July 2020. Let me check my calendar. It's been 2 years. Now, to be fair, there was this pandemic. Did you hear about this thing? Yeah, we all had to like stay home for 2 years and wear masks when we went out. It was really weird. So that could be the reason Rami hasn't come back yet. But now you're working on an animated series. But on the other hand, your animated series doesn't involve Oprah or another planet or a princess. So who knows? Bustle is paying attention to The Masked Singer. They're wondering if on this season's Masked Singer, the Firefly could be an SNL alum, but Bustle's paying attention. The clue package offered some hints about who she is. Firefly said, "It's not always easy to keep my antenna glowing." Firefly then grabbed a playbill of the historic Apollo Theater, which proclaimed that Firefly was doing live comedy. Firefly has a framed photo of Tyler Perry, a gold Statue of Liberty, and a mic that looks like a stand-up comedian's. Bustle thinks Firefly may be Sasheer Zamata. Bad news for international Daily Comedy News fans. As of this recording, the show has slipped from number one to number two most popular stand-up related podcast in Zimbabwe. Going into the weekend, this was, of course, the top-rated stand-up related podcast in Zimbabwe, but we have fallen to number two, less facetiously, number 20 in the United States of America. But as for Zimbabwe, we got to keep an eye on Haya with Nigel Eng. Haya with Nigel Eng, the most popular stand-up related podcast in Zimbabwe. I'm watching you, Nigel. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. That's the show that's about the royal family. I'm the writer on it, and the more I write it, the more I can't help myself. I gotta make fun of Harry. Today's episode gets into the question, why was Harry at a rodeo anyway? If you missed it, Harry showed up at a rodeo. There's a picture of him in a cowboy hat. People got mad at him. Animal rights advocates are mad that Harry went to a rodeo. Where was Meghan? Why wasn't she at the rodeo? But why was Harry at a rodeo? Think about it. Why is he there? Why? Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts. Now that brings us to our next story from news.com.au. The topic, making fun of the royals. Aussie comic Lewis Spears declared the night Prince Philip died, one of the best stand-up sets I've ever done in my life. Remember this? Lewis Spears went viral when he made a joke about Prince Philip, only to discover it live on stage because the audience told him that Prince Philip had died minutes earlier. Without skipping a beat, he said, can I just say, bit overdue. The audience cracked up. It was captured on video. Spears went on a show called Bad Jokes and told the host, as you can see, on that night, it totally demolished. It was one of the best sets I've ever done in my life. It's something that I feel real privileged that I managed to capture on film and can never be replicated. Because those were pre-written jokes I was doing about Prince Philip at the comedy festival for 10 nights in a row. So if anything, I should maybe apologize to the royal family because I think I killed him. I may have cursed him. On the night in question, Spears was halfway through a joke ridiculing Prince Philip when an audience member yelled out, he died tonight. The joke, can you believe that the royals are bad people? Yes, they live in castles. Of course they're not very nice. Have you guys seen Shrek? Have you guys seen Prince Philip? He's 3,000 years old. I'm pretty sure he invented racism. Audience member, he died tonight. What? I have to say, bit overdue. Are we sure he died today? I reckon he died 10 years ago and they wheel him out attached to springs at special events. Hours later, Spears tweeted, Prince Philip died during my show tonight, clip coming soon. The host of Bad Jokes asked him, where's the line where it comes to humor and what happens when you cross it? Spears admitted the punchline didn't go down so well with some, particularly older British people. He said, I've never had so many death threats from people that were so close to death themselves. It was profoundly positive, but there was like a really, really loud minority that were incensed and very angry and upset. All that voice was fueled by the media by presenting it with headlines like, disgusting and vile, stand-up comedian mocks Prince Philip moments after death. They were prefacing the almost objectively funny joke that was received well by everyone in the room and most people online as a vile thing you should be angry about before you've even had a chance to view it. I think comedians' jobs and artists' jobs is to walk the line and sometimes look at it and kick at it and go, you know what? I reckon I can bring some of these dark and hurtful things into the light and make us talk about it or make us more comfortable with it. Let's see who's at South by Southwest tonight, huh? A little slower, a couple podcast recordings. They can buy ads on my podcast. They want to be promoted. 7 o'clock, a night at the Comedy Store. Logan Gunselman, Willie Hunter, Eleanor Kerrigan, Jamar Neighbors, Marilyn Ricecup. She's been doing a lot of shows. Jessica Michelle Singleton, Liza Traeger. Yeah, all right. 8 o'clock, Neil Young's COVID Hootenanny. This is fun. This will be Matt Besser and people doing improv. Those people include John Gemberling, Eddie Pepitone, and Nick Thune. The description, perhaps the most quote-unquote star-studded event of the festival. Neil Young, played by Matt Besser, banters and bickers with a who's who of quote-unquote celebrity guests, invited to express their opinions on everything COVID in this once-in-a-lifetime concert event. I would go to that if I were down there. 9 o'clock, a night at the Comedy Store again. Who's on this show? Brian Bowers, Punky Johnson, Eleanor Kerrigan, Brian Moses, Eddie Pepitone, Jessica Michelle Singleton. That does overlap with the Matt Besser show, so I know which one I'll be at. 10 o'clock, stand-up downtown comedy showcase. Doug Benson, Sean Patton, Dulce Sloan, Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall, Shane Torres. Now we're talking. That's at Esther Follies. If you're in Austin, that's the show to hit. That one starts at 10. Besser's thing is over at 9:30. There's your night. Do Besser from 8 to 9:30. That's at Esther's Folly. Go outside. Go right back in. Stand up downtown comedy showcase. And if you do my plan, you're going to miss Roast Battle Round 3. That's at 11 o'clock at the Creek and Cave. Joe DeRosa, Willie Hunter, Mike Lawrence, Brian Moses, Jamar Neighbors, Coach T. Yeah. Besser in the 9 o'clock show at Esther's. That is the move. That is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.